We are having a conversation with Brisbane-based freelance musician and sound artist Luke Jaaniste. Hello, Luke.
Hello.
I'm calling to you because I found you from, let's be honest, I found you from Facebook very randomly, and I saw your name, Jaaniste. And I was 100% sure that you must have Estonian roots because it's a very unusual family name for Australia. So I contacted you and let's find out about your family history.
It was great to hear from you, and not often I hear my surname pronounced in a way that sounds like my grandparents would say it, in that Estonian accent of yours and with the kind of way that the Estonian language sounds. I know that from a very young child, when I was living out in the country in a very tiny town in New South Wales, I knew that my surname was very unique, and can always remember thinking there was only about 16 Jaanistes in the whole of Australia. They were all of the sons and grandchildren of my grandparents who came here. I think they arrived in Australia maybe very early 1950 and had spent several years going from Estonia, walking through Europe down to an Italian refugee camp, the end of World War II, and then onto a big boat with a lot of other immigrants to this great land of ours.
Your father was born here in Australia already.
Yeah, his two older brothers were born overseas, but he was born here. So he didn't have the accent. I remember as a child knowing about my Estonian heritage mainly through listening to my father speak on the telephone to his parents. He was a school teacher at a tiny school and sound very Aussie sort of day to day, but when they were speaking with their parents, yeah, he sounded like an Estonian, and that was kind of the land far away. That was how I knew that I had come from somewhere else.
You, as a third generation Australian now, do you yourself know any Estonian language, or did your parents thought that it's important for you to know that, or did they think that you're going to become an Australian?
That's an interesting question. My mother was born in France, and she came over in the 1950s as well with her parents. And so her language, of course, was French, which she would speak with her parents on the telephone too. So we never really had Estonian or French language at home. And I guess my parents kind of thought I would never probably grow up in a second language. My mother tried to teach me French when I was about 8 or 9 years old, but that didn't go very far, to both our regrets. And we were living in a very small town where it was difficult for me as a child to even imagine myself as Australian. The town was a few farms, a one-teacher school taught by my father, a church hall where a pastor would come once a month, and the schoolmaster's house where we lived. So it's just a tiny corner of in the backwaters of the Hunter Valley. So my sense of how big the world was very tiny. I used to think that my grandparents were probably the grandkids of Adam and Eve, which, of course, is crazy. But when I was a small kid, I didn't really know that many humans existed. So I kind of thought that it wasn't too many generations back to the origins of humanity. Guess my family thought that, you know, we're in Australia now. There was a sense of heritage, and I guess food around celebration times like Christmas was the strongest flavor I got of Estonia. But I didn't learn a language, and I've actually never been there to date.
Do you remember those flavors, those Christmas time meals? Do you remember?
Oh, absolutely. Pirikat was a big one. Beautiful food that Emma, my grandmother, made. Rosolia, the kind of pink purple apple beetroot salad, certain kinds of fish dishes. Very, very different for the kind of food that the farmers where we live were making, and different again to the French-German food that my mother's family would make Christmas time as well.
Eventually you moved out from that small town to bigger place.
Yeah, I've lived in a country town, New South Wales, and up to Sunshine Coast, and now for half my life I've been living in Brisbane. From the time I've been university student at Conservatorium of Music studying composition, and now as freelance musician.
Coming back to your family name, Jaaniste, do you have any stories that for Australians, you know, it can, especially at that time when you were growing up, how did they see you? Did you feel that they thought of you to be someone quite different to them, or did they accept you?
Yeah, I think that the look of my face, which, you know, is sort of blonde brown hair and typical large forehead that many Estonian men have and a kind of patchy beard these days, is not so different, I think, from the more Anglo side of European immigration in Australia. I didn't look like a very brown European, southern European, who might have kind of been hassled a lot in the 70s and 80s, you know, the Italians and Greeks and so forth. So in that sense, it seemed like I blended in, and the surname was just this exotic thing that seemed a bit fancy, and of course people would pronounce it any old way, and I just kind of got used to not worrying about how people pronounce it. And I don't worry so much today, but there was this beautiful moment the last time our extended family really got together, maybe about 10 years ago, when my grandfather was still alive. It was a wedding of one of the grandchildren, and all the family and their grandkids and even great-grandkids by then were together at a hotel in Brisbane celebrating this marriage. And I started to hear how everyone pronounced his surname, and it was very different. We had Yanis Ta, Yanis Dare, Yanis D. So I did this kind of survey, informal survey, where I kind of went around the room and got absolutely everyone to say our surname, and the variety was striking, and there seemed to be regional differences. Different grandchildren had tried to teach their family to say the name differently, and I sort of asked the sons to say it, and finally my grandfather to say the name, and we get something a lot like how you've been pronouncing it, Janiste. And these days I try to, if people ask how to say it, I will actually talk about the Estonian language and the beauty of it, the way that the syllables will change time more than they change contour. So the language to me, as I hear it, is not so voluptuous. It doesn't really go up and down in contour so much. It's more about how long or short you say these syllables whilst remaining quite high in the voice. And I think at that point it's a very beautiful language that's very different to the Australian way of saying things.
Now, as you're older, do you question your identity here in Australia? Do you think yourself as an Australian or Estonian or French, or how do you see yourself in Australia?
Yeah.
Or is it even a question for you?
Well, it's sort of, fortunately and unfortunately, not too much of a question, I guess. Always saw myself in as Australian, but as I grow up, I kind of come to see how strange that is in the history of humanity, really. Like, the kind of idea that I'm sort of from nowhere in particular is maybe a luxury, because as I'm living on this tiny sort of valley of land with some dairy farmers when I was a little kid, it felt like the whole valley was mine, and I got to kind of move through it, and we'd walk up the hills. The farmers were okay with us going through their paddocks, and we would skinny dip in the river, and it was like the entire valley was ours. But of course, it's only sort of possible that that could happen because the Europeans had driven the indigenous people off the land sort of about 200 and perhaps even only 100 years prior to that. So I have this luxury of imagining the earth is mine because the previous inhabitants have just kind of got the raw deal and sometimes very violently sort of sent away. So, and then I think about how my grandparents on both sides came from Europe after and during World War II, which had just been devastated. And for them, their identity was really important. You know, Estonia has been a kind of plaything between Germany and Russia for 1,000 years, and holding on to who you are in that space seems like a really important thing. But somehow the luxury of being in Australia is that all those kinds of identities and communities don't seem so, well, I'm not sure how to say it. They're important, but they don't seem so crucial, or they seem a little more fluid, maybe.
Have you yourself, knowing about your past, have you tried to connect with Estonian community in Australia? Do you have maybe Estonian friends, maybe from childhood?
Not really. I mean, we were not connected with the Estonian house and the community in Sydney like my grandfather was, who edited the paper there, the newspaper there, for some time, I think, in the 90s. And they ended up spending the last few years of their life in an Estonian retirement village a few hours west of the city of Sydney. It's very rare that I actually meet Estonians or bump into them. Occasionally, a few in Brisbane, a few down south. And so it's kind of a world that's beyond me, I have to say. It's a place that when I get to Europe, I think I will people want to spend some time in, and maybe my mind will be changed then. Maybe it will be different to go visit there. But the stories I hear from Estonia are very interesting, but my grandfather, the last time he visited, said that all his childhood homes were destroyed or grown over, and so the sense of this farm life that they had in rural Estonia is kind of just some strange figment of imagination.
You are a musician now. Have you researched into Estonian music? Do you know anything about Estonian music? Do you incorporate?
Well, a little bit, yes. There's the wonderful kind of choral tradition that is just absolutely amazing what happens there in the choir festivals. And of course there's Arvo Pärt, who's probably Estonia's most famous artist, I would say. And his music was very important to me and still is in terms of my own style and what I value in kind of a contemporary sound that's vast and still and open and luxurious. I think all of those things when I listen to his music. It was kind of curious when the Estonian radio station sent me albums and albums of more contemporary classical and post-classical musicians from Estonia, and they all sounded very European and modernist, and not a single one sounded anything like Arvo Pärt, because I think he's such an iconic figure that I guess other musicians in Estonia would not want to be accused of sounding like him at all. So he casts a very strange shadow, I think, over the local music community there. In terms of what they seem to be doing, but the kind of music that I'm interested in, which is, I guess, far more what Arvo Pärt's on about than a more generalized sense of European modernism.
Here in Australia, what kind of music are you creating? Do you call yourself Australian musician, world musician?
Yeah, maybe I think of myself more as somebody connected to various traditions from a European background, but also I'm working a lot these days with spatial music and meditative music, music that's very vibrational. I feel, firstly, that the space I'm connected to is the space of my body and the space that we create with quadraphonic sound systems. We will have lots of people lying down on cushions listening to our sounds evolve over sometimes many hours. And so we think of our music as less trying to be in the style of a place or to remember other places, and more to actually connect with the one thing we all do have, which is a body that vibrates. And yeah, so I can see across the world there are a range of traditions that kind of create meditational and vibrational music, you know, from Zen music to kind of, you know, really rough heavy metal music. And they're all somehow kind of part of what I'm interested in. Less about the stories of a place and more about how our bodies occupy space, I guess.
Thank you, Luke. Jaanis there, talking with SBS Radio Estonian.
Thanks so much for having me.